Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Zayin. And we begin from the second line on the top, Zayin Omer Aleph. We're in the middle of a machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, meaning that you do not have to do anything to go above and beyond to have the korbanos brought, not B'tumah. If it's a korban tzibur, Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, L'chatchila, it's not a problem to perform the avoda, even though the kohanim are tamei. Whereas Rav Sheshes holds, no, Tumah is dechuya b'tzibur, only under extenuating circumstances. We have no choice. Can you apply the rule that the tzibur knocks aside the din of Tumah, and the Tumah will not impact or impair you from bringing the korban? But it's only if you have no other choice. It's dechuya. If you have no choice, you push it aside. But if you have a choice, you have to have Tahorim do the avoda. So this was a fundamental machlokas. We brought down a number of questions on Rav Nachman yesterday, and we continue to ask questions on Rav Nachman, who says it's Hutra B'tzibur. So we begin again, second line from the top, Zayin Amad Aleph, Omer Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, Mina Amin Allah. How do I know that my shita, that Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur, is correct? Because it's based upon the following braisa, the Tanya. We learned in this braisa, Haya Omeid Umakriv Minchasa Omer. Right, this braisa is telling us that if a person was kohen was involved in bringing the minchas omer, that of course is the special omer offering that was brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. It was a barley offering that was brought to allow to be matir the chadosh, the new wheat. So this carbon had to be brought, of course, b'tara. But what happened if the person, the kohen who was involved in bringing this minchas omer, was nitmes biyado? The carbon became tame. The barley that he brought, the flour offering that he had, was tameh. So Omer, he goes and tells the other Kohanim, and Umevi'in Acheres Tachtel, and they go and look for other barley, they go and harvest it, and in that situation, they bring it b'tahara. In other words, you don't just say Tumah is Hutra b'tzibur, but you go and try to find Tohar barley. Umevi'in Acheres Tachtel. No, Vim Ein Shom Elohi, if there is no other barley over there except that barley, and that barley now became Tomei, as Rashi brings down over here, Shalom Motzo Mezum Lekach, there is no other barley available for the person to go and get. And if you look at the Rashis over there in the Gemara, where this is discussed in Menachos, it says over there in Rashi, Afilu B'mechuber, even attached to the ground, there is no other barley available. So then, if there is, they tell him, go and bring it. But if there isn't any, so then they tell him, Hevi Pikeach, Omrim Lo, the other Kohanim tell him, be smart, Hevi Pikeach, Ushasok, and just bring it. In other words, now we apply, Tumah is Duchuy B'tzibur. There is no alternative, and therefore, don't go and worry about it. But you can go and bring it B'tumah. Now, what's this idea of Pikeach V'shosek? You should be silent about it. So Rashi over there as well tells us in Menachos on Daf Ayin Beis, Shelo Yomru Mutul Hakriv Mincha Tumeya Vafil B'yochid. The concern over here is that if we, so to say, publicly announce that we're bringing this B'tumah, people are going to say, oh, you are allowed to go bring a carbon B'tumah. So they may mistakenly go and bring a carbon Yochid B'tumah, which would not be allowed. So therefore, we tell them to be smart about it and be silent. Bring it B'tumah. Bottom line is, if there is an alternative, you do the alternative, and don't bring it B'tumah. But if there is no alternative, then it's Dechuya B'tzibur. So therefore, the Gemara says this is a riot to Rav Sheshes and Akasha on Rav Nachman. K'toni Mias Omer, Umevi'in Acheres Tachtel. The other Kohanim say, go and bring barley, even if it's attached to the ground, go and reap it, and bring it, and sift it, and do all the process again, B'tahara. So you see that Tumah is Dechuyo B'tzibur, not Hutra B'tzibur. This is a Raya Rav Sheshes says to me, but it's a Kasha on Rav Nachman. So how would Rav Nachman understand this? I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman would say, no, that Gemara, I agree with you, because you know what? The Korban Omer is not totally brought on the Mizbeach. There is the Kometz, the Kmitza, that's brought on the Mizbeach. You take a portion of that, the coin takes the handful and puts that and places that on the Mizbeach and is mocked through that. But the Shrayim, everything that's left over, that's eaten by the Kohanim. Now, Rav Nachman says, Modina, I agree that we say Dechuya in a situation, Hecha de'ika Shrayim li'achila. Whenever there's something to be eaten, so then I also agree you try to do everything B'tara. And you go look to do it b'tara, because even if we say that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, that's only the bringing of the korban. but you're never allowed to go and eat a korban betuma, even if you're allowed to bring it. The one exception being the korban Pesach, which we just spent the beautiful Maseches Pesachim discussing, where we learned that, of course, the korban Pesach is allowed to be brought and eaten betuma if the tzibur is tameh. But every other korban is not allowed to be eaten betuma. So therefore, when you're dealing with eating of a korban, even Rav Nachman is moda that we try to get the korban brought betara so you can eat the korban. So here, the korban omer has a shrayim to it, that the leftover part after you do the kmitza is eaten by the kohanim. So Rav Nachman is moda. Yeah, in this situation, if you can do it betara, so we don't lose out on the mitzvah and on the importance of eating the korban, of eating this flour offering the minchas omer, the remainder, the shrayim, which are eaten by the kohanim. But this doesn't negate the rest of the time when you're not eating it. So then my shita stands that tumah is hutra b'tzibur, and you don't have to go out of your way to go get it b'tara. Try again. Gemara still questions Rav Nachman. Meisvei, we ask another kasha to Rav Nachman from the following b'raisa. This is a b'raisa, a tosefta that we have in Menachos as well. And this b'raisa says, Hoya makriv minchas porim ve'elim ukvasim. Now, the understanding, the havamin over here, is that we're dealing with the libations, the mincha libations, also the wine libations, but we're dealing here specifically with the mincha libations, the flour offerings that accompany the bringing of these porim, elim, and kvasim. These are korbanos that are being brought, either as a par, as from the cow family, or elim, a ram, or kvasim, a sheep. Now, it's talking here about stam bringing these korbanos, so they're either going to be an ola or a shlamim, which requires the mincha with them. So if you're bringing the mincha that comes with an ola or a shlamim, that's either a par, an ayil, or a keves. So in this situation, the braisa in Menachos tells us, the nitmeis biyado, if it became tameh, if the flour offering became tameh. So now, Omer, this Kohen tells his fellow Kohanim, uh-oh, this became tameh. So what should they do? So they go and bring a different flour libation to accompany the par, ayil, or keves that they're bringing as an ola or a shlamin. In other words, we don't say just go and bring it because it's tuma hutra b'tzibur. No, we say tuma duchuya b'tzibur. No, if there is no other flour available, then ein shom Elohi, this is the only flour that's available for this korban. So what should you do? So omer lo. So the other kohanim say in this situation, just like we brought down with the korban omer, have your pikeach, be smart about it, ushisok, and don't tell everybody, because then people will mistakenly think that you can bring a korban mincha betumah, even as a yachid. Now, my love, what are we talking about over here? This must be a korban tzibur that even we have a havamin of bringing it betumah, whether it's duchuya or hutra. It must be that it's a korban tzibur. And if it's a korban tzibur, you're talking about when do we bring an ola for a korban tzibur, so it must be parim, Elim ukvasim the chag. It must be part of the musaf that is brought on the chag. Chag normally means the yontif of Sukkot. The Menachem Meshiv Nefesh specifically brings down that Sukkot has all three of these, the parim, the elim, and the kvasim, that are brought as part of its korban musaf, as opposed to Pesach and Shavuos that don't. In any event, we therefore go and bring a tar set of these mincha libations for the parim, elim, and kvasim. Now, the Menachem Meshiv Nefesh Esh, we specifically talk here about where the Mincha became Tameh as opposed to where the Basra became Tameh, because the idea is that the Mincha could be brought even at a later point in time. It doesn't have to be brought with the carbon. So we want to accentuate that even if this happens after the carbon is brought, so the carbon isn't in any way impacted, while just dealing with the Nesachim, even there, we still say, do it Bitara. So in this situation, we have a raya again to Rav Sheshes. You clearly see over here that Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur by the fact that the Kohanim said, go and bring something else, and only if we don't have something else in Ein Shom, only in that situation when it's Dechuya, so then we say Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur. But it's a kasha again on Rav Nachman. It clearly says over here that Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur. How can you say Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur? So how does Rav Nachman respond? Amalach Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman would say, no, you misunderstood. This is not talking about the Purim, Elim, and Kvasim that are brought on the Musaf offering of Sukkot. No. He says, lo, you're incorrect. This is dealing with each one is a separate korban. The Purim refers to the Par of Avodah Zarah. Rechmon Litzlan, the entire tzibur, worships Avodah Zarah under the Horah of the Beis Din. They make a terrible mistake. The Sanhedrin makes a mistake. And they say, this is not Avodah Zarah. So let's say persecuting government said, we want you to do this. The Beis Din Paskin, that's not Avodah Zarah, so we'll do it. And it really is Avodah Zarah. And it turns out that the entire Tzibur, following the authorization or the psak of the Sanhedrin, went and worshipped Avodah Zarah. So normally, if a person individually worshipped Avodah Zarah, he has to bring a special carbon, an individual carbon chatas. However, here, there is a special communal offering known as the par helem davish otzibur for Avodah Zarah. And this is a par, but it's in the singular. One more later on and ask, it says parim. So we'll get to that in a moment. But the Am, the nation, has to go bring a par Avodah Zarah because they all committed Avodah Zarah communally under the direction of the Beis Din. So the entire Tzibur just brings one par of Avodah Zarah. This comes as an Ola. By the way, they also bring a Sawyer Lechatos. They bring a goat as well. But in any event, this is brought with Mincha libations because it's an Ola. And Ola comes with Mincha libations. So Afal Gav the Tzibur Hu, Rav Nachman says, even though this is a carbon Tzibur, Kivon de lo kviya leisman. This, and only this one, we don't apply the rule of tumma hutra b'tzibur, because you don't have to bring this on a specified time. It's not required to bring it today. It can be brought at any point in time, and therefore, only, Rav Nachman says, korbanos that are set in time and must be brought today, do we apply the rule of tumma hutra b'tzibur. But here, we do have to go and bring this korban b'tara, because it's not set in time to bring it today. So in this situation, kivin lo kriya leisman madrinon, you have to go and look for a tohar mincha to bring along with the par. And you have no raya against me that tuma is not hutra b'tzibur, because this is not a classical situation of a time-dependent carbon that must be brought at this time. So the obvious question is, so then how come they told him, well, im ein shom Elohi, then you can go and bring it b'tuma. If it's not time-dependent, how come you're allowed to go bring it b'tuma if there's no alternative? And this question is this, and the top Tosus will be a Purim par d'avodah zarah. When it refers to Purim, means the par d'avodah zarah. So Tosus points out in the top Tosus that this is an Ola, and it's Ton Minchas Nesachim. And he says, the Afal Gav the Tzibuhu Madrinan, that's the question that we just asked on Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman answered, no, that we're dealing here with the par Helem Dover Shul Tzibuhu for Avodah Zarah. But Tosus then asked this question. He says, how come you're allowed to go and bring it? Kosh Ein Zman Kavua, Ein Udocha Lo Se Shabbos Lo Se Tumah, Se Afal Bishu Korban Tzibur. So in this situation, you shouldn't be allowed to go bring it. For Hamivim Betumah, here we say that you're allowed to go bring it Betumah if you have no choice. How come? So Tosus answers, Hainu Mishum Deritzui Tzitz, because the Kohen Gadol's Tzitz, the frontlet that the Kohen Gadol wears as part of his eight begadim, that has the ability to be Meratza for Tumah. The Dafka Tumas Korban, the Meratza Tzitz. It's only on the Korban that the Tzitz is Meratza. Aval Tumas Aguf, the Kohanim, but if the Kohen is Tomei, Lo Idchu L'Gabayu, that doesn't, the tzitz doesn't allow the kohen to do his avodah b'tumah, klal at all. The legami choshev korban yochid. In that situation, it's considered like a korban yochid. And that's why in this situation, this is a par helem davar shel tzibur for avodah zarah. And that's why here, when you have no choice, then the tzitz is maratza. But the tzitz is not talking about tumah hutra b'tzibur. The tzitz is a bidyeved type of a situation. And therefore, Rav Nachman would say this has nothing to do with our debate about whether Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur or Duchuya B'tzibur, because this is not talking about a time-dependent carbon, and therefore this is taken off the table as a kasha against me. That's the Purim. What about the Elim? So Rav Nachman responds to that, and he says, Elim, that's dealing with the Elo Shel Aaron, the Isle that Aaron a Kohen, the Kohen Gadol has to go and bring on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to bring many korbanos, and amongst them was a par lechatos, the ayaliola, that came from his own personal funds. We discussed this previously as well. As the pasuk says, bezos yovo Aaron el kodesh, bepar ben bokor lechatos, the ayaliola. And the Gemara in Menachos teaches us that this ayal requires nesachim. This ayal is an ola, and it requires nesachim. Therefore, the afal gav de kriyal esman. Here, you could argue, well, this is a time-dependent mitzvah. However, Kivan diyachidu, this is not a communal offering. This is the Kohen Gadol's personal offering. It comes from his own personal funds, and it's his own personal offering that he has to bring. That's why Madrin, and we look to go and bring it b'tahara. So therefore, if this mincha became tameh, we told the Kohen, go and find one that is not b'tumah. However, in this situation as well, if you have no alternative, so the tzitz is meratza over here likewise. And therefore, That's why you bring this, but this has nothing to do with Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. This is a personal, individual Korban Yochid, and therefore, again, Rav Nachman says this has nothing to do with my Machlokis with Rav Sheshes as to whether the Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur or not Hutra B'tzibur. Now, the third category, we said, was the Keves, the Kvosim. What is that dealing with? Also, it's dealing with an exception. B'Keves HaBoyim Omer. This is talking about the actual Keves that is brought with the Korban Omer that we discussed earlier. So there is a lamb offering that is brought as well with the Korban Omer. It's not talking about a separate mincha, but it's talking here about the mincha of the Omer itself. And this is the Keves that comes with that mincha offering. And here, as we've already said previously, Dika Shrayim Liachila, you have food to eat. The kometz over here is done. You take the kmitz and take the handful off of the barley offering known as the Korban Omer. You put it on the Mizbeach, and the Shrayim are eaten by the Kohanim. So Rav Nachman already said, I agree with you that we don't say that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur when there's an offering that has to be eaten. And in this situation, since there's an offering that has to be eaten, I also agree with you that we should try to do it B'tara unless we have absolutely no choice. Because even though I hold the Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, that's only the bringing of the Korban. Again, we said with the exception of the Korban Pesach, you're never allowed to eat something B'tumah. So even though we could bring this, we want to eat it, so therefore I agree with you in this situation, but only in this situation do we go after bringing it B'tahara. Fine, that's how Rav Nachman gets around all three of the Kvasim, the Elim, and the Parim. Parim, Elim, and Kvasim. The only question I mentioned before is, if we're dealing here now with just, it's a specific par, the par helm dov shel tzibur for Avodah Zorah, if we're dealing here with the Isle of Aaron HaKohen, if we're dealing over here with the Keves that's brought with the Korban Minchos, so why did it say Parim, plural? Why did it say Elim, plural? And why did it say Kvasim, plural? It should have said par, Isle, and Keves. So the Menachem Nation of Nefesh asked this question, and he says that we're talking here about in general. So we're talking about whenever you're dealing with the par of Helam Dovah Shel Tzibur for Avodah Zorah, whenever you're dealing with the aisle of the Kohen Gadol, for all Kohen Gadolim, for all future generations. Likewise, with the Keves that's brought with all of the Korban Omers that are brought every year. So it's dealing here with the plural in terms of over time, albeit each one of these was a specific par, aisle, and Keves. Okay. Rav Nachman got out of this one, but we try again. Neisvei, we ask Rav Nachman again from the following Brisa. This is a Brisa we learned in Psachim. It's also found in a number of other places. You can see this in Yavamos, Gittin, Zvachim, other places in Menachos, other places in Psachim. A very famous and important Brisa. And this is a Shas Machlokis that we have over here. And the Brisa goes as follows. Dam shenitma uzrako. If you have blood that became tame, and nevertheless the Kohen who was doing this Korban put the blood, he applied the blood, he was zorik the blood onto the Mizbeach. So what's the halacha? Is this a good Korban or is it not a good Korban? So it depends. Bishogeg, if he didn't know that it was tame, now there's a lot of different interpretations. What does it mean he didn't know that it was tame? So the simplest understanding is he didn't know that it was tame and he did the zrika. Others say he didn't metame it on purpose, that it became Tamei Bishogeg. In any event, however you're going to learn this over here, if it was Bishogeg, it was done accidentally, so then it's Hurtza. However, if he did it B'mezid, he said, I know that this is Tamei, or they were Metamei this intentionally, so then if he goes and is Zorek this blood, lo Hurtza, the Korban isn't accepted, because, again, Tumah is only dechuya. So if it was b'shogeg, we say, okay, after the fact, it's okay. But l'chatchila, b'mezid, no, because Tumah is not hutra b'tzibur. Kashan Rav Nachman. So how would Rav Nachman respond to this? So where it says, kitanya hi diyachid. Again, this is talking about a Korban Yachid. So if it's talking about a Korban Yachid, the machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman doesn't get off the ground. Everybody agrees. Even Rav Nachman agrees that a Korban Yachid is not when it's Tomei, it's not Hutra B'tzibur, it's not the Chuyi B'tzibur, it's period, it's not brought. By a Yachid, there is no concept of Tumah being Hutra because of the Tzibur. So it's only a Tzibur that has the concept of, do we say Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur or the Chuyi B'tzibur? That's where Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes have the Machlokas. But in regards to a Korban Yachid, it doesn't get off the ground. So therefore, Rav Nachman gets by this challenge as well. Try again. Gemara says, Toshma, we have another Braisa. This is a Braisa also from Sochem and Menachos. And it says in this Braisa, Almah Tzitz Meratza. We know that the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz. It was worn right below the tefillin. on the forehead, the chlok is exactly where it was worn, but that's where the tzitz was worn. It said on it, Kodesh Lashem, it had Hashem's name on it, only one time, which we'll see is important. It said Kodesh Lashem, and the tzitz had the amazing ability to be meratza by certain korbanos that were brought betumma to be meratza, that it was acceptable after the fact. And again, as we just pointed out from Tosos, this is only, the tzitz is only meratza on the tumma of the korban, it's meratza, but on tumma of the guf, the Kohanim are Tomei, it's not Meratza. So, that's its Meratza. On those types of Kabanos that became Tomei, how does the Tzitz work? On what does the Tzitz work to allow this to be Bidi-Evid acceptable? So he says, for example, if the Dam or the Basar, Al-Dam v'Al-Basar, they come together, if those two are Tomei, so if you did the Zrika, you did the blood applications, the carbon is still good because it sits as maratzeh. Or if the parts that are sacrificed, the chelev, the sacrificial fats that go on the mizbeach, if they became tameh and they were still put on the mizbeach, so you get credit for the carbon. Now, this is true, the Braisa tells us, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, whether it was done unintentionally or whether it was done intentionally, bein b'onis b'rotzon. Again, there's no difference between rotzon and mezid, Rashi points out. They're really the same thing. Harehu b'chlal mezid, rotzon and mezid are the same thing. Elegabi onis, shayach l'misli rotzon. So when we talk about onis, something that was done through an accident, then we use the terminology rotzon as the opposite of that, whether it was done accidentally or whether it was done intentionally. And when we say shogeg b'mezid, that was something that was done shogeg by mistake. And then we use the terminology mezid when it was done intentionally. So in any event, however it was done, whether this dam or basar was or chelev was nitma, and then the service was performed with it, whether it was done bein mishogeg bein mezid bein onis bein ratzon, or now here's the critical part, bein biyachid bein bitzibur, whether it was done with an individual carbon or with a tzibur carbon, the tzitz is meratza, the tzitz is capable of making it good b'di'evit. Now, if you're telling me over here that we're dealing with a carbon tzibur, so obviously it's the tzitz that's meratza it, and not the fact that we say that tumma is hutra b'tzibur, and therefore v'sokadaitoch tumma heter hi b'tzibur. If you, Rav Nachman, hold that tumma is always hutra b'tzibur, so then what in the world do we need a tzitz for? Lama li ratzuye? How come the tzitz is necessary? By your definition that tumma is hutra b'tzibur, the carbon should be good without the tzitz. So that's the kash on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman gives two teirutzim over here. Number one, Amalach Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman tells you, kik tani hatzis meratza. When we say over here that the tzitz is meratza, that is only referring to adi yochid. That's only referring to the carbon yochid. That part was necessary to say the tzitz meratza. Oh, and by the way, Barabim, you didn't need the tzitz. It's also meratza because of the din of tumah is hutra b'tzibur. So you read this b'raisa as follows. You read the b'raisa as saying, amah tzitz meratza, the tzitz meratza al adam, the al abos, the al achelev, shenitma, ben mishogi, ben mezid, ben onis, ben rotzon, ben biyochid. That's how the tzitz is meratza. And by the way, just to complete things, the tzibur, if it is tame, is also meratza because of the concept of tumah hutra b'tzibur. Again, a little bit of a dochak way of reading it, but that's how Rav Nachman would give teretz number one. Teretz number two, alternatively, you could say, afilu tame b'tzibur. No, read it the way it sounds. It says, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur. But you know what we're dealing with over here? What type of tzibur offerings? B'hanaf de lo kviya lo zman. That is karbanos tzibur that are not time dependent. Again, like we just brought down with the parhelm davashel tzibur of avodah zarah. You don't have to bring it today. You can bring it tomorrow. You can bring it yesterday. You have an option of when to bring it. So something where you have an option of when to bring it, then I agree, Rav Nachman says, we don't apply the rule of tumah hutra b'tzibur. In that situation, we try to go bring it b'tara. So therefore, this b'raisa is no question to me. So Rav Nachman has shlugged up all the kashas against him. He's okay. Rav Nachman's shita, it still stands, that tumah hutra b'tzibur. Now, we're going to try to be equal opportunity, and we're going to ask a kasha of Rav Sheshes, who says, Tuma is dehui b'tzibur. Meisve, we ask from the following braisa, it says in the pasuk, V'noso Aaron es avon hakodoshim. It says that the tzitz that Aaron has on his forehead, that should be meratza over here for avon hakodoshim. It should be able to go and handle the avon of the kodshim. What does that mean? So if you have a carbon that normally would not be allowed to be brought because there was a problem with it with Tumah, so the tzitz is meratzit. Now, what type of problem are we dealing with over here that it says, Vinosa Aaron Savona Kodoshim, that Aaron a Kohen, he's wearing the tzitz, Voya Metzach Aaron, the Pasuk says incomplete, Voya Metzach Aaron, Vinosa Aaron Savona Kodoshim, Ashayakdish Ben Israel. So, in this situation, because the end of the pasuk says, "L'chol matnos kodsheim v'hoyo al mitzcho tomid l'rotzon lehem l'fnei Hashem." So, having this tzitz on the meitzach of Aaron, it says the first part of the pasuk al meitzach Aaron. The end of the pasuk says al mitzcho. So, this capability, the tzitz to be meratzah, is on what? V'chi eza avun unosei. How does the tzitz work? So, we know it works for tumah, but the word goes through the possibilities. If you're telling me im avon pigol, you're telling me that the tzitz is able to be meratza for the avon of pigol. If a person had an improper machshava doing one of the avodos to be mafagol the carbon, he would have it al shechtes carbon now to eat it chutz lizmano outside its right time. So that makes it the pigol. If somebody were to go and eat this carbon, a kizayis of this carbon, they'd be chayv misa, be chayv kares because this is pigol. So therefore, are you telling me that the tzitz is meratza for the sin of pigol? No, that's not true. Hari kvar nemar, the pasuk tells us, lo yiratza, that even b'di'evit, there's no way to go be meratza pigol. So we can't be talking about pigol, that the tzitz is meratza for pigol. Okay, v'im avo nosar. Maybe we're talking here about nosar. Okay, that's what the tzitz and the ratz is for. If you have a carbon that's beyond its time and somebody eats it, so that would normally be, again, a chiv of kares, so the tzitz is maratza. That can't be it either, because the pasuk says in regards to nosar, havikar nemar, lo yichoshit, under no circumstances will this be allowed. So we turn to Zayin Omid Beis. So what is the tzitz maratza for in that situation? Ha'enu nosei elo avon tumah. It is only being meratza for the oven of tumah. Now, why tumah? Because shehutra michlala bitzibur. Because we do have a situation where tumah is hutra bitzibur. Notice the terminology. Tumah is hutra bitzibur under situations of tumah. Shehutra michlala bitzibur. So we have already an example of tumah being hutra. So if the tzitz is meratza on something, it makes sense to say that the tzitz is meratza on something that we already have a precedent that it can be brought even betumah. And therefore, kashal Rav Sheshes, here you see that it says, beferish, that it's hutra miklola betzibur. So, Rav Sheshes has a problem. This fits in well with Rav Nachman that says, tumah is hutra betzibur. And the tzitz is meratza on something where we already have a precedent that it's hutra betzibur. Kashal Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, that's, in fact, not a problem for me because this is a machlokis tanoim. And I don't hold like this tana, I hold like a different tana. And therefore, as an amora, I don't have a problem in saying my shita against this tana because I have a tana that disagrees with this tana as well. Tanoi, he, the Gemara says, the tanya, because we learned in another brisa. This brisa is from Sanhedrin and Psochim. It says in this brisa, tzitz, the tzitz is maratza, bein shiyeshno al mitzcho, whether it's on, it's actually worn by the Kohen Gadol, or whether it's not worn by the Kohen Gadol, it's in his closet, it is Meratza. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. This is how Rabbi Shimon holds. As long as it's not Nishbar, we'll see in a moment, if it's broken, then the tzitz is not Meratza. But even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it, as long as it's not broken, even if it's in his closet, so then, whether it's on his forehead or not on his forehead, Rabbi Shimon says the tzitz is Meratza. Rehuda disagrees. Rehuda Omer, no. Odeyu al mitzcho, if the tzitz is actually on his forehead, he's wearing it on his forehead underneath the tefillin, so then odeyu al mitzcho, then the tzitz is maratza. However, ain't odeyu al mitzcho, if he's not wearing it, it's in the closet someplace, it's not broken, but he's not wearing it, ain't a maratza. It's not capable of doing the ritzui that the tzitz can do, like we just said earlier, to be maratza for tumah. Amar Rabbi Shimon questions Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, I'll prove to you that I'm right, that you don't have to be wearing it, because the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur Miochiach. The Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur is not allowed to wear the tzitz at all times, because he has to sometimes go lefnai v'lefnim, and when he goes lefnai v'lefnim, he only wears the four white garments, and not the regular eight garments that the Kohen Gadol wears, which includes the tzitz. So he has to take off the tzitz when he goes lefnai v'lefnim. Sheino de'al mitzcho, he doesn't wear it at all times, and yet, umiratza, the tzitz is meratza, even when he's not wearing it, because when he's lefnai v'lefnim, he's not wearing it. So that proves that I'm right, Rabbi Shimon says. So I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not right. Hanach l'koin gadol b'yom kippurim. Leave that aside. The koin gadol going inside to the lefnai v'lefnim, not wearing the tzitz, is the exception to the rule. Why? Because what is he doing lifnai v'lifnim? No carbon yachid in there. It's only the carbon tzibur applications that he's applying lifnai v'lifnim. And therefore, we have a different set of circumstances that permits that. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds, like the Tana that we just brought down, the Kash on Rav Sheshes that we said, sits as Maratza on Tumah because Tumah is Hutra Miklola B'tzibor, so that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And that is who Rav Nachman follows, because Tumah Hutra Lo B'tzibor. However, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda responds that way to Rabbi Shimon, obviously Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibor, and therefore he doesn't have that teretz, and therefore he must hold that even when the tzitz is not on the meitzach of the Kohen Gadol, it is meratzah. So therefore, Meklal, the Rav Shimon Sabar, Tumo dechuya hi betzibor. Oh, and that who's Rav Sheshes holds like. So Rav Sheshes aligns with Rabbi Shimon, and Rav Nachman aligns with Rabbi Yehuda, tanoi hi. And therefore, we can't bring a raya from this brisa against Rav Sheshes, because he says, you're right, the Tana of this brisa holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and I disagree with that. I hold like Rabbi Shimon, the Tuma is dechuya betzibor. Since we brought down this brisa, the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, let's discuss it a little bit further. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye says, "Binishbar hatzitz." If the tzitz is broken, this is what I was referring to before. It's not that the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it; it's in his closet. No, the tzitz is broken. Somebody stepped on the tzitz and Nebuchadnezzar broke it. Binishbar hatzitz. If the tzitz is in fact broken, so then everybody agrees. Kuli Amma. Lo pligi, even Rabbi Shimon is molded to Rabbi Yehuda. In this situation, the lo meratza, the tzitz cannot work if it's not on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, if it's broken. Rabbi Shimon says, only if it's not broken can it work. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's not on his forehead, it doesn't work at all. And certainly, if it's not on his forehead and it's broken. So where do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue? Ki plige, the tole b'sichsa. That's when it's hanging on a sichsa. A sichsa is like some sort of a yosed, a peg, Rashi says. So you have it hanging up on a hook. So the Kohen Gadol put the tzitz on the hook, and in this situation, while he's not wearing it, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, the Pasuk says, it has to be al meitzach v'nosa. Now, here again, the whole Pasuk is, v'yo al meitzach aron, v'nosa aron esavon hakodoshim. So it has to be on meitzach aron in order for it to work. So that seems to say exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon has his own Pasuk. Rabbi Shimon Savar, at the end of the Pasuk, he says, Tomid l'ratzon lahem. We left out the word lahem here. So Tomid l'ratzon lahem lifnei Hashem. So it's Tomid l'ratzon. My Tomid doesn't mean Tomid all the time. So ilaymo Tomid ha-mitzvah. If you're telling me it means that it's permanently always on his head, that can't be. Mimishchachsla. How can you tell me the Kohen Gadol never takes off the tzitz? What? Mi lo boy meil lebeis hakise. Mumi lo boy meinam. What? The Kohen Gadol never has to go to the bathroom. He can't wear the tzitz in the bathroom. What? The Kohen Gadol doesn't go to sleep ever? You're not allowed to wear the tzitz when you're sleeping. You're not allowed to wear the tzitz when you're going to the bathroom. So therefore, what does it mean, Tomid, that it's meratza, Tomid l'ratzon, ela Tomid meratzu, even when he's not wearing it, as long as it's not broken, the tzitz is meratza. So Rabbi Yehuda has his pasuk, and he says it's ametzach b'nasa. While it's on the forehead, it will work. And Rabbi Shimon has his pasuk, it says Tomid l'ratzon, it's always able to provide the ratzon, even when you're not wearing it. So the obvious question now is, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? Well, Rabbi Yehuda Nami, knew Rabbi Yehuda, he had a very good raya, which Rabbi Shimon will have to answer in a moment, about Ametzach v'nasa. But what does he do with the fact that it says Tomid l'ratzon? That seems to imply, like Rabbi Shimon, that it's meratzah even when he's not wearing it. Well, Rabbi Yehuda Nami, Hoksiv Tomid, what does he do with that? So Rabbi Yehuda would say, how Tomid, when it says Tomid at the end of the pasuk, Shelo yasiach dai tomimenu, it means you constantly have to have it in mind. You can't be losing consciousness or thought about the tzitz that's on your forehead. The Kohen Gadol has to be constantly aware that he's wearing the tzitz. And the tzitz is only meratza when he's wearing it, from the first part of the pasuk. And Tomid l'ratzon means to constantly be aware of it. And this is a drasha, k'derabba bar Rav Huna. What did Rabbi Huna say? D'amar Rabbi Rav Huna, chayav od l'mashmish b'tfilah b'chol shav v'shah. Person has to constantly touch his shel yirosh, be aware of where his shel rosh is, his shel yad and his shel rosh. You don't ever lose you're thinking about your tefillin. That's why we touch the tefillin in various parts of the davening. People have a minhag when they say, Poseach Siyadecho, Zbil Chokhai Ratzon. People have other places in the davening, Shatmo Siyadecho, Yulutot Tefos Bein Enecha, and many other places in the davening where a person has the minhag that he touches his shoryad, he touches his shorosh, to constantly be aware of them. And if you have to be aware of your tefillin all the time, chayv al mashrish your tefillah b'chol shav v'shav, so it's a kal v'chomer mit tzitz. And this we learn out, a kal v'chomer from the tzitz. If the tzitz, which only has one name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to constantly be aware of it, because the pasuk says, tami l'ratzon, so Allah has kama v'kama, your tefillah shoyad and your tefillah shorosh. And we turn to Ches Amud Aleph, where we say this. Umatzitz Shem Boel Askora Achas. It says on the Kodesh Lashem, it only has one name, and Askora means the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's only on at one time. Nevertheless, Amr Torah Al Mitzcho Tomid. You have to constantly think about it. Shlo Yasiach Daito Mimenu. Never lose thought of the fact that you're wearing the tzitz. So if by the tzitz, which only has one Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to never lose thought, lose attention of it, lose sight of it. So Tefillin Sheyesh Bem Askoras Habe. The Tefillin have many times the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly Allah Haskam V'Kama. How much more so? So that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns the pasuk that says it has to be on your forehead in order to work, and how he explains Tomid L'Ratzon to mean that you have to constantly have attention on the tzitz. Now, what does Rabbi Shimon do with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk? Now, Rabbi Shimon do Amar Tomid Maratzah. He says that the tzitz is Maratzah at all times, even when you're not wearing it. What does he do with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk? V'akisiv. Now, the girsa that we have is Al Mitzcho, but it really should be Al Meitzach V'Nosa. No, what does Rabbi Shimon do with that pasuk? Seems to say that it has to be on the forehead. So Rabbi Shimon says, "How look bol amokom hudiyosa." That tells you the place it's supposed to be, on the forehead. How do you know where you're supposed to wear the tzitz? Maybe where the tzitz is a bracelet around your arm. No, it has to be al meitzach aron. That's a very good raya. He needs that. So Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that you're supposed to wear it on the forehead? So Rabbi Yehuda, he learns it out, Nafkale me'al mitzcho, because it says al mitzcho at the end of the pasuk, so that teaches us it has to be on his forehead. Okay, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon do that? Rabbi Shimon, nami tebikle me'al mitzcho at the end of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, no, enochanami. That's actually where he does learn it out. So, Taka, we're back to our original question. So what does Rabbi Shimon do with the beginning of the pasuk? He says, al mitzach aron v'noatzo. So what does he do with the beginning of the pasuk? Elo, al meitzach, it should be not mitzcho, v'nosa, my avidle. Back to our original question. So Rabbi Shimon would say, amalach, roi lemeitzach miratza, sheino roi lemeitzach eino miratza. What does this mean? If the tzitz is able to be worn, it is miratza. If the tzitz is not able to be worn, it's not miratza. So this is lafuke nishbar tzitz delo miratza. This is telling us that the tzitz is able to be worn, i.e. it's not broken, so then it's miratza, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. But if the tzitz is not capable of being worn, i.e. it's broken, so then it's not miratza. That's what Rabbi Shimon uses the pasuk for. Dude, that's a very good raya. Rabbi Yehuda, nishbar tzitz minole. What does Rabbi Yehuda do to teach us that if the tzitz is broken, then it's not maratza, even if the Kohen Gadol were to wear it? So he says, nafkalei, instead of the pasuk, it says, mimeitzach, it says mitzcho. At the end of the pasuk, it says mitzcho. It didn't say meitzach again. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda has an extra drasha to learn meitzach mitzcho. Why does Rabbi Shimon do that? Where he answers, Rabbi Shimon, Meitzach Mitzvah lo Mashleh. He says that's not a drasha. He says the extra wording, Meitzcho, instead of Meitzach, that's not enough to teach us this din. He needs the beginning of the pasuk, Al Meitzach Aron Benosa, to teach us this din. Therefore, he doesn't have it to require that the tzitz be on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. It can even be, as long as it's not broken, in hanging on a peg, and it will still be Meratza. And this is the fundamental understanding of this pasuk and the machloka between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. And so whether the Kohen Gadol has to be wearing the tzitz, Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and Rabbi Shimon says as long as it's not broken, even if he's not wearing it, it is miratza. With this, we conclude today's shir.